I would certainly hope that they would if I'm a Packers fan.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Believe me, I have tried to get some information on that.
Holding everybody accountable.
We felt that way last year.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle and Brust.
Some point here, we'll have Jason Wilde on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, and now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. Jason Wilde joining us on the Yuengling guest hotline. Jason, you've talked a lot about Keyshawn Nixon from the state of the Packers with Gabe Neitzel and Alex Stroff. By the way, Gabe's in for Kyle, as you know, he got married. Welcome into the program.
I am not talking about Keyshawn Nixon at all. Period. I'm done. I am so tired of Packers fans. If you hate Keyshawn Nixon, good for you. But I am done having this conversation because we're not going to convince any of these people that hate him that he doesn't suck. We put a clip up of what I said on today's show. We put a clip up of what I said with Gabe and Stroff on Saturday, and all I get are these fans that just hate the guy's guts, and I do not want to become Keyshawn Nixon's spokesman. So what else you got?
I didn't know that was what your sentiment was, so I just think that's interesting to know that you are done with the Keyshawn Nixon conversation. That's fair. You've talked a lot about it.
No,
so
I'm not taking it out on you, but I know Gabe has seen this as well. It's just I don't know how you convince people. No one's comparing this guy to Deion Sanders. No one thinks he's, unless maybe Keyshawn Nixon is, I don't know.
The only thing that I would say is sometimes the vocal minority that you're feeling may not change their mind, but to those who don't know what you have said, can form their own opinions. I'm not telling you to continue to talk about it. I just am giving you the reminder that social media, and you know this, isn't the end-all be-all of all opinions.
Yeah, but it was very negative on our show today, too, about him. Maybe there's a silent majority that thinks he's fine, but I just don't understand why people, their issue isn't with the fact that their cornerback position is where it is currently.
Yeah, I was going to say, put it on Goody then, because, again, if you go back to last year's draft, it really wasn't a primary focus for this team, and in the same way that they focus on the offensive line after Philadelphia, you look at the offensive line after last year, and they're kind of like reshuffling and doing things. That you're almost talking about two very similar situations in that offensive line and cornerback position, and so if you want to have frustration, you can take it out on the guy who is in charge of, A, he said it was an initiative after the Philly game to make sure the offensive line is better. So it is interesting. We're almost having very similar conversations about even edge, corner, and offensive line. And so I guess do you put that all on Goody?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to be a really good football team. How good they're going to be will be decided on how healthy they stay and if and when they do have injuries, because everyone has injuries, how the guys that are next in line perform. And obviously last year they lost Tucker Kraft and they didn't get a whole lot of production from anybody else that plays tight end. They lost Micah Parsons, who's obviously a first-team All-Pro player, and Rashawn Gary didn't elevate. LVN was hurt. They didn't get a whole lot of production from that group. So, again, if they stay healthy, they got a really good team. I just don't know how some Packers fans don't look at the cornerback position and see that is probably a shortcoming on their roster. Even people that think Keyshawn Nixon is a pretty good player can probably feel that way.
I do think he's a pretty good player, and I do feel that way as well, Jason. When training camp opens about a month from now, are you going to be more intrigued with trying to keep tabs on the offensive line or trying to keep tabs on the cornerback position?
Well, I'm really curious, as we talked about on Saturday, Gabe, is Jagger Burton really good? And that's why they're talking about him as challenging for playing time in the fall? Or is it because what they have they don't feel that great about, and comparatively speaking, he's in the mix? I'm eager to see what approach they take. I mean, you see it every day at practice. Like, if they make a change, you know, you'll see all of us mention it almost immediately. And you saw that during the off-season program when we saw Jagger Burton at right guard rotating in, which I know you love rotations. And then when we saw him on left guard for the mini camp because Aaron Banks wasn't practicing. I mean, that's a lot of work with the ones. And you can downplay the significance of hat, helmet, T-shirt, and shorts practices. But he's still got that work, and the head coach is obviously excited about him. Same issue with the cornerback position, though. I mean, is Brandon Cisse, who is only 20 years old, be able to walk in and play right away? You know, he got a little bit of work with the ones, but that's different than Jagger Burton getting the work that he did. So we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But I'll be watching both to answer your question.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Kyle and Bruss with Gabe Neitzelland for Kyle on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Jason, I feel like it's not that Jordan Love flies under the radar because there's been so many different rankings that come about a quarterbacks, this, that, and the other thing. Just more specific to him, as you've covered him, what is the main thing you're looking to see from him as he runs the offense, which is going to be super important while Micah Parsons is out? Is there anything from a consistent standpoint you want to see from him while Micah's out?
Well, I think the first of all, the thing that he talked about that he has to be more consistent with, and what he said was his goal for this offseason, was his footwork. And I think we all enjoy his fall away jumper style throws, right? It's impressive how he does that. But in general, he was asked during the minicamp, what's the biggest thing that he's working on, the one thing he's working on the most? And his quote was, my biggest thing that I've noticed since I got back is just my feet in the pocket, trying to be as smooth and consistent as possible. When I go through my reads, not getting antsy, not getting to that point where you're trying to move through the pocket too fast, just staying calm, staying relaxed. Move through my reads. If I've got to move around the pocket, keeping those movements pretty tight and not kind of running into where guys might be peeling off and be able to hit you. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like that's one of his stronger points, is his ability to move within the pocket. So if that's what he's focused on working on this offseason, that's probably a pretty good sign, because I think he's pretty good at it already.
So how much does that also fall onto the new quarterback coach, who is a former quarterback coach for the Green Bay Packers, and Luke Getsy? And how much does Jordan Love and these things that he wants to work on, how much do those get affected by they've had some turnover at the quarterback coach position? They went from Tom Clements, who then retired, and then Sean Mannion becomes the guy, and Sean Mannion gets the opportunity to move on, so they go in and make Luke Getsy the quarterback coach. How much of a factor is that on Jordan as he continues to try to take those next steps?
Yeah, I don't want to downplay the importance of the quarterback's coach, and especially early in Jordan's development. I mean, the fact that year two and year three behind Rodgers, he got to have Tom Clements, who, you know, he's one of the GOATs when it comes to working on fundamentals. I mean, remember, he was on McCarthy's first staff, so he took over Rodgers in 06. And as great of a player as Rodgers is, and as much natural talent as he has, I mean, they did have to work on him, you know, lowering his ball carriage from up by the ear hole, like Jeff Tedford wanted them to at Cal, to changing his footwork and marrying up his footwork with his reads. And that was a process. And so I think Jordan benefited from that. I'm not saying he's beyond coaching now, because nobody is, obviously. But I think especially having Luke, who knows him and who has experience with him, but also coached him at an earlier point in his career versus now, I think that's going to be valuable. I just, you know, so he'll have had three quarterbacks coaches in 3 years. In some situations, you'd be a little worried about that, but I think we all know that the primary quarterbacks coach is still Matt LaFleur. And I think that he's trying to be in that room a little bit less. And maybe this year is the first year where he can be, in that room a little bit less because he's also got a guy in Tyrod Taylor as the backup, who's basically another coach. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Love does to elevate and how Luke Getsy can help him do so.
Well, Jason, we do appreciate the time, and I'm glad you and C-Cat were able to connect as, you know, he's still learning the ways back
yeah,
there.
Just to be clear, this was all, this was 0% C-Cat's issue. This was, I am a believer in the, I'm sure you guys are young, well, Gabe, you're not as young as you used to be, but you guys are largely young and cool, and you have the AirPods. I still like the corded headphones, because I'm an old person, and apparently there's a short in the one that I use to talk to you guys every day. So every time he called, I was talking to him, and he couldn't hear a word I was saying.
Wait, so you
and
like
so
the...
Nothing like untangling headphones for no reason.
Well, no, just because I guess the last time I had the wired headphones for my iPhone, it was a different charging port. The charging port's like wider now than
Correct.
What it used to be.
It's more universal.
So
yeah, no, they've got the USB cords.
You can
still get Apple ones. The problem, of course, is as I examine this further, it would appear that a cat may have chewed through those cords. So
How
that,
that
might have something
happen?
To do with it.
When you have a zoo at home, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, hard to believe. Yeah. You know, because this is not a pet-friendly home at all. We don't have any pets as far as you know.
As far as the government in Brown County and Green Bay are concerned, there are very few cats in that house.
Exactly. Certainly no more than the legal limit. But now, so maybe I have to consider the... I just am always nervous that when you're on the radio, it's kind of like you... This is kind of a new version of a landline. Like now, it used to be I would always try to find a landline
because
I didn't want to drop the call. Now, nobody uses a landline anymore, but I still use the corded headphones because I don't want, like, you know, the batteries to run out on the AirPods or whatever else. But apparently... If your cats chew a hole through your corded headphones, those don't do you any good. But I just want to make sure no one is blaming C-Cat. This is 100%
different
on me
cat, not our
and
C-Cat.
Probably Sullivan. Yeah. Hey, Nye, well played.
Thank you, Jason.
Take care, be good, and apparently Keyshawn Nixon sucks. All right, guys. Bye.
There it is. Jason Will, the Yuengling Guest Hotline.